Walker Percy, the moviegoer, page 10. But things have suddenly changed. My peaceful existence in Gentilly has been complicated. This morning, for the first time in years, there occurred to me the possibility of a search. I dreamed of the war. No, not quite dreamed, but woke with the taste of it in my mouth. The queasy quince taste of 1951 in the Orient. I remember the first time the search occurred to me. I came to myself under a chindolea bush. Everything is upside down for me, as I shall explain later. What are generally considered to be the best times are for me the worst times, and that worst of times was one of the best. My shoulder didn't hurt, but it was pressed hard against the ground as if somebody sat on me. 6 inches from my nose, a dung beetle was scratching around under the leaves. As I watched, there awoke in me an immense curiosity. I was on to something. I vowed that if I ever got out of this fix, I would pursue the search. Naturally, as soon as I recovered and got home, I forgot all about it. But this morning when I got up, I dressed as usual, and began as usual to put my belongings into my pockets. Wallet, notebook for writing down occasional thoughts, pencil, keys, handkerchief, pocket slide rule for calculating percentages, returns on principle. They look both unfamiliar and at the same time full of clues. I stood in the center of the room and gazed at the little pile, sighting through a hole made by thumb and forefinger. What was unfamiliar about them was that I could see them. They might have belonged to someone else. A man can look at this little pile on his bureau for 30 years and never once see it. It is as invisible as his own hand. Once I saw it, however, the search became possible. I bathed, shaved, dressed carefully, and sat at my desk, and poked through the little pile in search of a clue, just as a detective on television pokes through the dead man's possessions, using his pencil as a poker. The idea of a search comes to me again as I am on my way down to my aunt's house, riding the Gentilly bus down Ellison Fields. The truth is I dislike cars. Whenever I drive a car, I have the feeling I've become invisible. People on the street cannot see you. They only watch your rear fender until it is out of their way. Ellison Fields is not the shortest route to my aunt's house, but I have my reasons for going through the corner. William Holden, I read in the paper this morning, is in New Orleans shooting a few scenes in the Place de Armas. It would be interesting to catch a glimpse of him. It is a gloomy March day. The swamps are still burning at Chefmonture, and the sky over Gentilly is color of ashes. The bus is crowded with shoppers, nearly all women. The windows are steamed. I sit on the lengthwise seat in front. Women sit beside me and stand above me. On the long back seat are 5 negresses, so black that the whole rear of the bus seems darkened. Directly next to me, on the first cross seat, is a very fine-looking girl. She is a strapping girl, but by no means too big, done up head to toe in cellophane, the hood pushed back to show a helmet of glossy black hair. She is magnificent with her split tooth and her Prince Val bangs split on her forehead. Gray eyes and wide black brows, a good arm and a fine swell of calf above her cellophane boot. One of these solitary Amazons one sees on 57th Street in New York, or in Neiman Marcus in Dallas. Our eyes meet. Am I mistaken, or does the corner of her mouth tuck in ever so slightly, and the petal of her lower lip curl out ever so richly? She is smiling. At me! My mind hits upon a half dozen schemes to circumvent the terrible moment of separation. No doubt she is a Texan. There are nearly always bad judges of men, these splendid Amazons. Most men are afraid of them, and so they fall victim to the first little Mickey Rooney that comes along. In a better world, I should be able to speak to her. Come, darling, you can see that I love you. If you are planning to meet some little Mickey, think better of it. What a tragedy it is that I do not know her. We'll probably never see her again. What good times we could have. This very afternoon we could go spinning along the Gulf Coast. What consideration and tenderness I could show her. If it were a movie, I would have only to wait. The bus would get lost, or the city would be bombed, and she and I would tend the wounded. As it is, I may as well stop thinking about her. Then it is that the idea of the search occurs to me. I become absorbed, and for a minute or so I forget about the girl. What is the nature of the search, you ask? Really, it is very simple, at least for a fellow like me, so simple that it is easily overlooked. The search is what anyone would undertake if he were not sunk in the everydayness of his own life. This morning, for example, I felt as if I had come to myself on a strange island. And what does such a castaway do? Why, he pokes around the neighborhood, and he doesn't miss a trick. To become aware of the possibility of the search is to be onto something. Not to be onto something is to be in despair.